Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Pat Casey to LSU, maybe. He's visited Baton Rouge. There is a little bit of angst in Baton Rouge over Casey. We'll kick it around this hour. I've got strong thoughts about it. It's drumming up a lot of old memories, too. Like, I think Pat Casey's a good guy, but I get it. At LSU, where they are emerging from an era where oversight by the administrators there was anything but buttoned up. People in LSU are nervous. People in Baton Rouge are nervous about, what Pat Casey knew. And I'm getting a lot of questions from media in Baton Rouge asking me about Luke Heimlich again. We'll kick that all around. We'll open that back up this hour. We'll also talk about the Blazers. In particular, the Blazers are now searching for a new head coach. Neil Olshey, the general manager of the Blazers, threw Terry Stotts under the bus last week. And then he backed the bus up and backed over him. And then he backed over him again. It's not the roster that's broken, he says. It's the coach that was broken. Jason Kidd, on the short list and off the short list in a matter of 24 hours. Dirty little secret, Neil Olshey pushing hard behind the scenes for Chauncey Billups for some reason. Maybe it gives him control of playing time. I don't know. If you're the general managers of the Blazers, what you should be doing is getting your resume ready, because this is a roster that just is not built to help Damian Lillard contend. Meanwhile, the view from across the country is interesting. Brian T. Smith, sports columnist at the Houston Chronicle, who's worked here in the Portland metropolitan area and covered the Blazers before, texted me this morning and he said, man, what you guys are seeing there in Portland, it's not all that different than what we saw in Houston a few years ago. I want to bring him on the show now. Brian, what do you mean by that? What do you see?
Well, the NBA is, it's a circus, John, and it has been for the last 10 or 15 years, but, now it's a soap opera. And the fact that, and I don't know the details, maybe only a couple people do, of how it was presented to Damian Lillard, that he wanted to publicly go on the record immediately after, his longtime only NBA coach was canned after a first-round loss. And obviously, it's not on Lillard in terms of, losing that series, because he was absolutely incredible. But to publicly come out and say, I want, this guy, I want Jason Kidd, and then maybe I'd be okay with Chauncey Billups, but I want Kidd as my coach. And then for Kidd to have to back out that quickly, Rockets fans just went through this with James Harden. They had a coaching search. Mike D'Antoni left. Daryl Morey left. All the people that left are incredible positions right now. I mean, Russell Westbrook can't get out of the first round without Kevin Durant, but James Harden doesn't have to play because he's got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they're up 2-0. Mike D'Antoni's an assistant for Steve Nash, which is pretty ironic. They're up 2-0. They're probably in the Eastern Conference Finals, very likely in the NBA Finals. Daryl Morey's basically the GM, president of basketball ops, whatever, of the 76ers, who are in the playoffs right now. And you just look at how the Rockets handled that situation, the power that was given to James Harden, how they catered and catered and catered and ultimately got burned by Harden. It's just unbelievable how the NBA plays out right now if you are a franchise and you don't have LeBron James, I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. If you don't have the one guy who can swing everything, you are, and if you allow yourself to be run by your superstar, when have we seen it work out? We haven't. It's really only worked out for LeBron James, and they've got issues again in Los Angeles, and Frank Vogel will probably be on the hot seat when the season starts. So many points point toward one direction, and that is the fact that the Blazers obviously are at a major, major crossroad, and they should study the Rockets if they want to figure out how to maybe try to get this right or completely blow it.
Let's talk about that, because I think it's great. Like, you got to study history or you're doomed to repeat it, right? And we see this over and over in sports. What did the Rockets do wrong? What are those core things they did wrong in the last couple of years that led them to this point?
Well, it must be pointed out that if Chris Paul, who looks fantastic again, and I mean, my gosh, what a story Chris Paul is at his age and what he's accomplished in his career, but he's still got to prove it. He's still got to win the next two games and then get to the NBA Finals and win the Finals. He needs 10 more wins to validate everything. But if Chris Paul's hamstring doesn't give out at the end of Game 5 that the Rockets won against the unbeatable Warriors with Kevin Durant, et cetera, the entire story is different. But it did give out. And what happened after that was the Rockets continued to defer and cater to their superstar, James Harden. And James Harden, I've written about this a billion times in Houston Chronicle, but James Harden ultimately went to the Rockets a season later and said, it's him or me. You know, Chris Paul goes or I go. And the Rockets, for the billionth time, gave in and catered to Harden because, just like Lillard, they were afraid of losing Harden. Now, they're different players, different personalities, but ultimately, John, they've both fallen short. You know, I mean, now Portland has let Lillard down, but it's not like Lillard was supposed to be LeBron James when he you know, went to college or came out of college. He has exceeded everyone's expectations except for himself, and credit to him for that. But it sat so odd with me for him to go on the record. And he's way too smart for that. So is he naive? Was he led into it? Whatever it was. But to go on the record saying, I want this coach, if you do that as an organization and you pick that coach, how does anyone in that organization have any power from any point forward? And I thought it was fascinating for, if you're a Blazers fan, if you've watched this organization go through, you know, Aldridge and Roy and Odin and Nate McMillan, on and on and on. If you're going to go down that path and cater to your superstar, you have to win a championship. And the thing is then the next year you have to win a championship again. It just doesn't work out. And it's only worked out for LeBron James and half of the league and half of the fans across the country can't stand LeBron James. So I'll be fascinated to see how the Blazers play this out. And right now they look weak. They look incompetent. They look like so many other NBA teams that are so desperate to please the one guy who can get everyone in the building, who can maybe get them to the conference finals because he's so talented. But if you don't have the backbone, if you don't have the infrastructure, if you don't have the group leadership that it takes, it ultimately fails. And I don't see how the Blazers successfully get out of this and win the NBA Finals right now, let alone if they basically pick a coach just because, you know, their franchise player wants that coach.
We saw so many talented players opt out and defect from Houston. It happens. It's not just Houston. It happens in other markets. Things don't go right. Guys just scatter. Damian Lillard said all along, you know, he's a Portland guy fighting for the small market. I kind of wondered if this was an opportunity for him to paint the organization into a corner where suddenly he can throw his hands up and say, well, they didn't hire my guy, 18 months from now. Yeah, now I want out. Did the Rockets wait too long on James Harden? Do you think they could have moved him earlier?
They unquestionably waited too long. And now we might look back in 10 years and say, you know what, this draft pick in 2024 became the next great thing, and the Rockets won the Harden trade. That could happen, and it very well might. But, John, we live in, it's June 10th, it's my anniversary, by the way, happy anniversary to my wife. It's June 10th, 2021. And what we know right now is that James Harden is still one of the best players in the NBA. He doesn't have to play. I mean, and then the second he gets on the court, I mean, the Nets offensively are unstoppable unless they start devouring themselves. They did not get enough for James Harden with what we know right now, and they handled the situation horribly. You know, they catered and catered and catered. Harden didn't like any of their coaching options. You know, maybe wanted them to go in a different direction. They had to move away from Jeff Van Gundy, whose name's been circled with the Blazers, because that wasn't going to work for Harden and Westbrook. Westbrook didn't want to play with Harden. Harden didn't want to play with Chris Paul. They finally hire Steven Silas, who was up and coming, but now still has to prove himself because he had a wasted year. And then they allowed Harden, one player, to sabotage their entire season and screw up their entire roster. They basically got John Wall, who's making just an obscene amount of money, to be the 80th best player in the NBA and horrible in terms of leading a team and horrible in terms of, you know, actually being somewhat worth that contract and NBA, you know, cap money. They got John Wall to try to make it work again with James Harden, and that's just the cycle that these teams get in. So it's actually rare. It's rare to find an organization anymore that gets it right, because if you're Indiana, if you're Portland, if you're the Rockets aren't really a major market franchise. They're kind of stuck between mid-market and big city. They've, you know, still struggle to get guys to come here and buy in. But if you are the Blazers, there's no better recent template to look at than the Rockets, because if Lillard sours on them, then they have to be ahead of that. You know, you're going to have to move Lillard ahead of the curve, and that's what the Rockets absolutely fail to do with Harden.
I'm looking at the standings right now. You've got Utah had the best record in the West. The Suns were second. The Nuggets were third. Every year we see a reaction with a team that wins the championship. If Phoenix is this year's team, let's just say they're looking good. They rip through it. What will be the reaction? Where will the copycat reaction come from in this league? Will it help the smaller market teams, even though Phoenix isn't a tiny market? Will it help those smaller market teams justify sort of drafting well and looking to add a player that can help get them over the top, like Chris Paul?
It's a great question, and that's why, you know, and I've written several times, I mean, it just feels like a down NBA year, and, you know, it's post-bubble, and things don't really feel right, and Steph Curry and the Warriors and LeBron James and the Lakers aren't even in it anymore. But this is fascinating with the teams that are left, and so you could very well have yet another horrendous reinforcement of the super team era, right? If Brooklyn wins this, if Phoenix wins this, that theoretically helps 75% of the league. Because from what we know right now, Phoenix put this, I mean, then they were horrible. Like, let's not forget that. They were horrible for years. But John, wouldn't Portland love to have Monty Williams as its coach right now? I remember covering Monty Williams inside the Blazers practice facility for a year and how great he was to deal with. And he was on the rise, and, you know, he's dealt with Paul before, and he's overcome so much in his life, and he bounced around. But Monty Williams is unquestionably one of the best coaches in the NBA right now. And Phoenix, you know, stumbled into him, but also wisely chose him. And then when they wanted to take the next step, they went out and got a veteran like Chris Paul, but he was also a risky veteran who in some ways just 2 years ago when he went to Oklahoma City looked like his career might be over in NBA terms. They drafted well. They have depth. You know, they had a Jay Crowder. So they put together a team, and that's the plus side, and that's the positive, that if the Blazers do have the right front office, I don't know that they do. I highly question, just like you, that they do. But if they do, they have the opportunity to get this coaching hire right and to, you know, surround Lillard with better pieces and to improve the defense. And maybe you have to do something bold like trade C.J. McCollum, I mean, whatever it's going to be. But the whole idea that it's going to be Carmelo Anthony and Damian Lillard and a really bad defense that was horrendous the whole season and has been for years, and then you're going to reward that by letting Lillard hand-pick his coach publicly, I've seen it happen too many times to where it absolutely backfires. I hope Phoenix wins this so they can kind of reset the table across the league and prove that you don't have to cater to the superstar.
Brian T. Smith, columnist, Houston Chronicle, with us. Brian, you know the Blazers franchise. The death of Paul Allen, sister Jody sliding in. It's left Neil Olshey, the general manager of the team, running unchecked. I don't think that's good either.
No, it's not. And I watched this directly play out with the Rockets as well. Now, their situation was different. And Daryl Morey is one of the smartest GMs in the league and has been for a decade and had the Rockets on the verge of making the NBA Finals, and they likely win it that year because they would have played a Cavs team that had LeBron and that was it. They might have swept the Cavs too. But by the end of that Rockets era, the reason they're in the horrible situation they are in right now, with a little draft upside, but it could take them years to get out of this, and they have no clear path forward. They had too many brains in the kitchen, too many people with recipes. You had Russell Westbrook fighting with James Harden, not wanting to play with Harden anymore. You had Daryl Morey still catering to Harden, and they went all for small ball, which was absolutely absurd. You had Mike D'Antoni, who was, a fantastic coach in many ways, but wasn't strong enough with Harden. You had Tillman Fertitta as an owner, who has a lot of upside, but was very inexperienced. You put all that together, and they did not have the leadership, the organizational leadership that they needed. And that's why this Blazers situation looks so precarious to me and looks so iffy to me. And Lillard is one of the top five players in the NBA, and he's absolutely incredible. How can you screw that? And he wants to stay. As of a month ago, he wanted to stay. He's embraced that community. He's willing to go the different routes. How can you screw that up if you're the Blazers and they're clearly on the verge of doing it?
Brian T. Smith, happy anniversary to you and yours.
Thank you, John, for having me on. Take care.
Go join. That's what we do on this show. We get people's anniversaries and we interrupt their lives by dragging them on this radio show. Good stuff from Brian T. Smith. I want to kick it around a little more. I'll take your phone calls as well. Are you as concerned as he is about the Blazers? Or do you think this is a blip in the arc? I am concerned about a couple of things. Only one of them has to do with basketball, though. I want you to leave it right here. I'll take your phone calls. 503-417-7575. I just want to say my piece real quick on the Blazers front, and then I'll be done with it for now. But I thought it was shameful that general manager Neil Olshey treated Terry Stotts the way he did in his news conference. All Terry Stotts has done as the Blazers coach is do the best that he possibly could do with a roster that I think few coaches in the NBA could have won 50-plus games with the consistency that Terry Stotts did it. Never complained. He never threw the GM under the bus. Had multiple exchanges with Terry Stotts over the years about the roster. And in the end, he just took the high road every time out. And look, we all see the roster. It's broken. Neil Olshey made a lot of mistakes. Summer of 2016, I would argue, is the worst summer the Blazers have ever had in acquisition of talent. Worst summer ever. Made more mistakes in the summer of 2016 than they have made in any summer here by any general manager. Hamstrung the organization. I would also argue that if you are going to come out, as Neil Olshey has, and whine that you can't get free agents to come to Portland, as he has, that you better do a good job in the draft and you better do a good job via trade. He gave up the draft picks to get players. He signed players in the offseason, $15 million worth last summer, that couldn't even get on the court in the playoffs. Not good enough. And since 2013, when he drafted C.J. McCollum, I mean, what have the Blazers, what do they have to show for it in the draft? Really? I think it was game two or game three of the series, Anthony Simons scored 2 points. And I went back and I looked at the draft since 2013, and I was like, the Blazers just got 2 points out of the last 7 drafts. 2 points. That's all they had to show for it. Now, you can argue that Zach Collins is hurt, but if we're going to just credit, like, hey, injuries, he had injuries, then let's do the same with Greg Oden. Let's give Kevin Pritchard a NBA championship. If not for Greg Oden getting hurt, Blazers would have been a lot better. Look, it's part of the game. You've got to draft players that are going to stay healthy. You've got to draft players that are going to get on the court. You have to draft well, especially if you're in Portland. And the Blazers hit a home run with Damian Lillard. But everybody who was part of that draft evaluation, including, you know, Chad Buchanan, all the assistant coaches, when you talk to these people over the years, the organization was picking Damian Lillard. Neil Olshey was brought in right before that draft. The decision was made. Olshey gets credit for Lillard, but that decision was going that direction anyway. I'll give him credit, though. I'll give him credit for Lillard. I'll give him credit for McCollum. But you can't go 8 years getting nothing out of the draft, screwing up summers, and then throw your coach under the bus and expect the rest of us to nod in approval. It's shameful. And the fact that he's running unchecked, sources are telling me that Neil Olshey's running unchecked, he's running the Blazers organization right now, is concerning to me. Jody Allen has to be in probate hell right now. Anybody who's been through managing an estate would understand that Paul Allen's estate is not going to be an easy one to settle. It's not going to be an 8-month thing. Could take 8 years to wade through all of the companies that he owned, the holdings that he had. What happens to the Blazers? What happens to the Seahawks? I just feel like this is a worst case scenario as far as that congruency of vision that I always talk about. Top to bottom, ownership, team president, general manager, coach, player, you all have to be lined up. And right now, ownership is absent with the Blazers. Team president Chris McGowan, I think he's doing a good job trying to run the business, but there's nothing over him, so he's just kind of focused on the business. Neil Olshey in basketball world, I think, is really focused on making sure that Neil Olshey has a job. I don't think he's intent on winning big for the sake of the franchise. I think he's trying to win big for the sake of himself, but I think first and foremost, it appears to me that he's trying to ensure that he has a job for the next 3 or 4 years, and he now wants to hire a coach that he can control in Chauncey Billups. That's why Neil Olshey wants Chauncey Billups to coach. It's not that, like, Billups is the greatest coaching candidate that's available out there. He's got some baggage, including a sexual assault allegation that happened years ago that he settled with the survivor. So there's some problems here with Chauncey Billups, but Neil Olshey appears to be bulldozing forward. I'm told, if you were curious about how the Jason Kidd thing went down, you know, Damian Lillard told multiple outlets that he wanted Jason Kidd. Now, I have problems with that too. But from 20,000 feet, Lillard saying he wants Kidd is interesting. I'm looking at that. And then 24 hours later, Jason Kidd pulls out of the thing. I am told by multiple people who are involved directly in that equation that Neil Olshey called Jason Kidd's agent and told him, hey, your guy better bow out. He's about to get killed publicly. You know, he removed Damian Lillard's candidate from the equation. That's curious to me. It's an interesting play by a general manager that I think would not be working if Paul Allen were still alive. This is all soap opera-like. And, you know, you can make all the jokes you want. Neil Olshey, once upon a time, wanted to be a soap star, wanted to be an actor. But I can't help but think when he's on the podium and he's talking like he was talking the other day, arrogant, condescending, narcissistic, talking down to people, refusing to answer questions, that guy cannot be the face of your franchise. From a management standpoint, that can't be it. People don't like it. They don't respect it. They don't want to buy it. And this Blazers organization has been through too much. Fans have been through too much here to look at that and go, okay, this is what our franchise is going to be for the next couple few years. I'm hoping Jody Allen wakes up. I'm hoping that she saw Neil Olshey's appearance and went, that's not what we're about. Guy looks like a jerk up on the podium. Treats people poorly. Bully-like. There are just multiple instances, and a lot of this is inside baseball, but, you know, even the workers at NBC Sports Northwest, like, I've had my issues with how that entity covers the Blazers. Like, over the years, Comcast, Sportsnet Northwest, NBC Sports Northwest, they got the pom-poms out. They're shoveling the narrative of the team. They're kissing up to the team. But people working behind the scenes will tell you that if you do anything but that, Neil Olshey's got a file he keeps where he's printing out people's tweets. He's writing down what they say on radio. And he's really just so consumed with the narrative about him that I wonder how you can be focused on winning in the basketball world. A lot of outside noise in Neil Olshey's head. And I'm sure the guy hates me. I'm sure of that. But I don't really care. I'm watching him. He's done a poor job. He's terrible. He's bad at his job. Like, you know, it's time for him to probably go to another market, another team, see who will take him. Get back to developing players or whatever it is he's supposed to be good at, because he's not good at being a GM. In the end, he just looks like a guy who's heavy-handed and focused on his own narrative. His own, like, it's not me. No, it wasn't a result of the construct of the roster. It was the coach's fault. Like Terry Stotts? Terry Stotts is going to go somewhere and win. I don't think Neil Olshey is ever going to win.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.